Are you all enlightened now? Because I see a lot of Buddhas in the room. I hope you can see it too. It's been a real honor to be here with you. I have really been nourished myself by the experience. Your practice has been wonderful. I so enjoyed the interview groups, people's authenticity and vulnerability and willingness to put it out there. So lovely. And the steadiness of the practice. I have so enjoyed meditating in here with you. It's been absolutely wonderful. And the opportunity to be with our retreat manor and the two of you, the opportunity to spend time with you, that would have been enough in itself. Price of admission. Priceless. Isn't that a MasterCard commercial? Priceless. So. In my tradition, we really emphasize the importance of Sangha and building community wherever we are. And I have started to really merge the Vipassana tradition, because the Vipassana tradition, I don't think anybody does it better in terms of working with the heart and mind, which has to be the foundation for everything else we do. So it's such a lovely tradition. So I can't separate them really in my mind or my teaching anymore. So I want to leave you with some words around building community and how important it is and some ways in which you might think about that. And as I tried to say in many ways last night, the litmus test of spirituality is relationship. And as engaged practitioners, we're continually challenged to go beyond these old ideas of the separate self and discover greater and greater circles of connection with each other. And if we want to be socially engaged practitioners, if we want our practice to mean something off of the cushion, we have to be about building community in some way. And not just in our sanghas, but in our families and in our workplaces and the networks that we're part of and all the groups and organizations that we're part of. And building community is very demanding work. And as I said last night, the bodhisattvas among us always take the tough assignments. And my own observation has been that the path of ease and comfort is seldom the path of awakening for any of us. And the reason that I invited you on Thursday night to give some thought to the things that are really important to you, to your core values, to the things that you really want to stand for, is because I have found that great aspirations protect us. Great aspirations not only protect us from things like co-optation and corruption, but they give us such a sense of ease and joy. Somebody in one of my interview groups, it was so wonderful, indicated that really if you have those things in front of you, that's all you need. That's all you need. Everything else falls into place. So our inner integrity in that manner is just an unlimited source of individual and collective nourishment. And in this area, because any of us have more, what's so wonderful is that if any of us have more, it doesn't mean that somebody else has less. Because there's such an infinite amount available. In the end, it's not how much you know about meditation techniques, but it's about whether you can touch your own sorrow, whether you can disappoint another to be true to yourself, whether you can let your heart break open in love rather than be protected in fear, whether you can be alone and enjoy the company you keep, and whether you can stand in the fire of injustice and not shrink back. And to me, true community builders are revolutionaries. And not because they're continually rebelling or complaining or railing against the system, but because they are positive change agents working to change existing agreements without demonizing others. So they skillfully bring the unconscious and unwritten rules of engagement and conduct into the conscious arena for dialogue and examination. And that's how they change the rules. And that's how they change their communities, because they're willing to stand for those things. So all communities, all workplaces, all sanghas need the sacred fire of these kinds of revolutionaries, to nourish them and sustain a creative vision. And each one of us can be part of bringing that revolutionary fire to the communities that we're part of. Any one of us might be one of those good conditions that helps the Sangha body manifest, or that revives the sacred fire in the workplaces, organizations, and communities that we're part of in such a powerful way. It is amazing how many things we do and the ripple effects that are out there working, positive or negative, that are touching people all the time. So the revolutionary is somebody who has ethical courage because they have that touchstone of what they stand for. And she's the person who provides support and supplies the critical motivation to somebody for doing the right thing, even when she fears disapproval or rejection by her own peers. And she understands the difference between doing the next right thing in front of her and righteousness. So those two things are very, very different. And she develops the confidence, as La was talking about, to be willing to admit mistakes and just cultivate a deep sense of humility, love, and appreciation. Community builders also understand that we live and work in a world where we have to make decisions all the time about what kinds of compromises are called for in what kinds of situations and what the cost of speaking out in any given situation might be. And these are very, very difficult choices. I can think of times in my own life when I was forced to make difficult decisions, and sometimes I made the right decision and sometimes I created a lot of chaos. I remember making a decision and a choice to speak out publicly against something in the police department that had happened, even though I had been ordered by the top brass not to, knowing the cost of doing so could be my job. And although that did not end up being the case, the cost to me emotionally and organizationally was immense at the time, but I emerged with my integrity intact because I knew what I stood for. And I can think of another time when the intention in my heart was right, and I took a stand that cost me a lot, and looking back was very ill-informed and totally unnecessary. I could have made a very different choice and still come out with my integrity intact. And looking back, that mistake, which I still regret to this day, was because I was too sure. And when I look back at my past behaviors that now make me wince when I think about them, and I remember them, the great majority of the havoc and the damage that I wreaked earlier in my life stemmed from being too sure. So community builders are not only willing to ask themselves, are you sure, and understand their own attachment to their views and how that affects other people, but they facilitate exchanges between people that enable people to help in providing care for each other. And they recognize and value the assets of each other. And they're not threatened by the contributions and talents of others. So that means that you also have to recognize what you do and do not have to contribute to any given situation. And this requires the awareness. This is another form of the awareness that we train for every day. And many of us have the right intention and are moved by our Buddha nature or bodhicitta or loving kindness to step out of our lives into a sense of service. But without a practice as the basis for that, I have found that it's very easy to lose one's perspective and get lost in our own suffering. And what I've found in my own life is that if I suffer too much, that is my life signature. And the people I am in relationship with and the people I serve in either my paid or my unpaid work will suffer also. And we can have wonderful intentions and be strong advocates for social justice and walking around creating problems for ourselves and others that we are blind to. So this practice helps us. So fundamentally, it's the basis for everything that we can do in the world. And what I found is that for me, spirituality, really the essence of it, has been about awakening the practice of love. It really boils down to that. And as I said last night, coming to and trusting in our true nature, the inner wholeness of ourselves and others, is the essence of spiritual practice. Sogyal Rinpoche says, your feeling of being unforgiven and unforgivable is what makes you suffer so, but it only exists in your mind. We're most likely to demonize people or tell them how wrong they are when they threaten our view of self in some way, and when we let go of our false beliefs about our own unworthiness. We don't need ourselves and others to be perfect anymore. And then we can give ourselves and each other some room when we build community. And space, this kind of space is required. Space is required for any kind of growth to take place. The flower, the beautiful flowers, our own inner growth, the growth of the others that we're in community with. So community builders are those people that find activities that foster interaction among disparate groups of people, and that facilitate the sharing of understanding, talents, resources, and skills. It's a painful job sometimes. But they understand that being together means being stronger, and that's why they take it on. They know how to clarify and manage expectations in their families, in their workplaces, in their communities, in order to achieve agreement and alignment about these things. And they understand the importance of honoring difference in the process. So in conclusion, let me just say that as mindfulness practitioners, we can build the organism, not the organization, but the organism of community. Organisms are different than organizations. They're living, breathing things. And in an organism, each cell can contain and reflect the entire organization, and can go out and represent the entire organization, but it also has to come back and be nourished by that living, breathing organism. So we can be valuable members of very vibrant communities if our participation includes a willingness to take risks, a commitment to understanding each other, to remain patient and flexible, knowledgeable about and committed to the process. And again, it's so important to understand that we can never know all the ripple effects of any of our actions. For me, it all started with one nun's comment. Who else would we want to carry a gun except somebody who will do it mindfully? And then I happened to be in Plum Village in 2002, and it was during working meditation. And somebody said to me, Sherry, you can make this happen. And what I had said is that, you know, I have this ridiculous vision of police officers holding hands and creating peaceful steps on the earth together. Before I knew it, as a result of her inspiration to me, I was on the stage asking Thich Nhat Hanh if he would lead a retreat for police officers, and the next year it happened. And at the end of that retreat, I held hands with 25 of police officers from my department and created peaceful steps on the earth. And it was all the result. This woman does not know what she provided me with. She does not know about the ripple effects of what she did. So I invite you to begin to take very seriously the fact that who you are in relationship to other people can alter the condition between and among people. Any one of us can be the spark that ignites that sacred fire of the communities we are part of. Just as Thich Nhat Hanh, the Dalai Lama, Tara Brach, and so many of the teachers that we have the privilege to walk among are the continuation of the Buddha, we will be the continuation of them. So it's been such an honor again to be with you. I always think of all the people that I've had the privilege to sit with on retreat when I go home and resume my daily sitting practice. So when I sit daily, I sit with all of you. You've each become part of my community now, part of the community that sustains me. And I take great comfort in knowing that you're out there, that you are all out there committed to waking up. and that I'm part of something so much larger than myself. So thank you for your beautiful practice, your friendship, and your presence this weekend.